Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are really excited because we're joined by some good friends, kind of from afar, some coworkers of ours. Troy and Rachel have been pursuing multiplying disciples and churches in the U.S. for a long time, alongside of their seven kids. And so we're going to hear a little bit more about what it looks like for them to be pursuing that as a family. But Troy and Rachel, thank y'all for coming. We're excited about this conversation.
Yeah. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
We've enjoyed listening to you guys on our runs together.
Oh, very nice.
Such a blessing.
Let me just tell our listeners a little bit about you. Rachel actually grew up as a TCK in Japan. Troy had a slightly different upbringing in the Midwest, more of our style.
Midwest is the best.
That's right. And they both moved to Virginia for college, where they fell in love at the biology lab. Love that detail.
Right. Sounds like there's a story behind there.
Yeah, I know.
It is.
They have been serving Jesus together as a family on mission for over 11 years with, again, their seven children, ages 6 to 20, and now one new amazing son-in-law. So praise the Lord for all your kids and how you've been doing ministry together. And we've just loved hearing a bit about your passion for making disciples and church planting, also biblical community, and really seeing lives transformed and seeing God redeem lives. So just want to share with our listeners about the church planting work that you've been doing in Southern California the last 5 years, where you've seen over 43 new churches planted and over 1,200 baptisms.
It's awesome.
Just so awesome. Praise the Lord.
And I think some of the ways that you've adapted, some of the ways that the Spirit has led as you've been in the midst of the context that you've been in the U.S., a lot of what we talk about, even on the podcast, and a lot of our experience has been overseas. But to really hear it from people who've been doing it and living it out in the U.S., that's really what we want. We'd love to hear from you. Honestly, part of it is a little self-serving. Here in our city, I think we're seeing a little bit more of the worldview that you all encounter probably among some of the folks that you are reaching in Southern California. We're seeing more and more of that all the time in our city. So we'd love to just learn from you as well about what are the ways that the Lord kind of led you to reach out to that community. All right.
Yeah.
We want to hear about the model of ministry that y'all have been pursuing over the past several years in Southern California. When we throw out numbers like that, you know, maybe there's some internal understanding for us, but maybe thinking about our listeners, multiplying churches, seeing that many, those people baptized, you all pursuing discipleship. What does that look like? Give us a practical picture of the model of ministry that y'all were pursuing for the past several years in Southern California.
Well, man, it's good to be with you guys. Thanks for just taking the time. And we get really ministered to by you from afar. Jesse, I think it was a number of years ago, we were trying to figure out elder appointment, and you really helped give us, like, not only challenge us on, but give us like some practical steps towards it. And like, so the Lord's used you and your family to minister to us and to coach and disciple us from afar. So
praise God, man.
We're really appreciative of you guys. Yeah. So we use what's known as four fields as our, I don't know, framework. And I would like to say we use the Bible as our framework. Like, that's our manual. That's our book that we go to for everything. I was doing a coaching, it's like my first like group of people that like God gave us in South Florida when we were here. And we were walking through the Four Fields manual, and I met Nathan for the first time. And I was like, yeah, man, we're using the Four Fields manual. He's like, put that down, pick up your Bibles, go through your Bibles. Like, yeah, okay. So we went back. And it was so funny. Like, oh, okay, yeah, loud and clear. I was just a little bit of background to answer your question. Like, I not on purpose, we just kind of fell into it. Ended up being on staff at a church when I was like a few years out of grad school. And was in like leading a programmatic ministry for about 12 years and got a lot of pats on the back for that and found a lot of joy in it. Though we had a heart to go overseas, we would lead summer mission trips to Japan every year. And that kind of like, I think, fed the need, like the heart, like apostolic heart. But for 10 years, one of the missionaries our church supported mentored us Steve and Amy. They serve in Thailand. So I'm beginning to like be Miyagi'd in these like principles from the Bible. And, you know, are you making disciples? And it's like, I saw what I was like, yeah, I am. I'm making disciples. I'm preaching twice a week, you know, like I'm organized. Like that's disciple making. And then we began to see God move in our neighborhood among like engaging lost people and found a lot of joy in that. But then I went over to Asia where they were serving and saw like firsthand, like what movement looked like and like the lives that were transformed. And it absolutely wrecked me because I realized like I was blown away, but I was also like deeply convicted, like, oh my gosh, I am disobeying the Great Commission. And in that moment, the Lord was so gracious. He's just like, I forgive you, like get up and go do what you know to do. And so we went back and just began to make disciples and equip people in like some simple biblical reproducing tools. And by God's grace, like, I don't know, you know that like when people are first obeying, like there just seems to be this like beginner's luck, but like there's just like favor, like God blesses that like first time obedience. So we just saw like, we saw people come to Christ, but I think even more exciting was we saw other people like begin to obey the Great Commission and the joy. I mean, it was like homeschool moms, like pastors, high school kids, like it was like across the board. Cause it was just kind of like train anybody. So we began to find like a lot of like personal joy, like, oh my gosh, this is what we're called to. We began to like, just really pursue, what does this look like? And honestly felt very alone in it. And cause the people that we were looking to were not local. And we found joy with the people that we were starting to run with, but the church that we served in, to our discouragement, like was just not on board. And right before then, we met Jeff at a gathering, and that was really from the Lord. Like, because then we had some like not just mentorship from overseas, but we had some mentorship of somebody who was actually doing this in the United States, and then he was able to introduce us to some other people who were also doing this in the United States. And so we got to Japan for a year, and it was like a year of like really, I think, refining our hearts and rooting out like some unforgiveness in my heart based on like our departure. But honestly, like forced us to really like think, because I had to now train this cross-culturally. And so like how do we, and Rachel interpreted, and like, so really simplifying tools and getting it out of the word and doing this with our children. That was huge for us.
Tell them about like when I was getting really exhausted in Japan and I said, can you just take the boys out and just go?
Oh, yeah.
And Isaiah was 6 years old.
Yeah, that's right.
Five. I think it was five. Five and seven, the two boys. Yeah.
Yeah. You, what you're going to hear too is like a lot of this like was not on purpose for us. Like it's like the Lord used our kids to teach us or other people to teach us. Like we just got in spite of us. But yeah, so Rachel's like, hey, can you take the boys out? And so I forgot about that. So we're out. I'm like, yeah, we'll go for a prayer walk. It's a nice form of childcare. I have zero expectations on like what they're going to pray. But these kids are like in school with the Buddhists, you know? So like they're seeing what more than we're seeing. And so Isaiah's like, God, tear down these idols. I'm just like, what the heck is it going on? Like, yeah, tear them down, you know, like. So like, cause it wasn't just like an activity. It was like coming out of his heart. Like he was really burdened for these people. There was this like field trip Malachi went on, and we didn't know about it until it was in the newspaper. And there's this like picture in the newspaper of all these kids like bowing to an idol, and Malachi's just standing there like this. And we're like, what was going on? He's like, I wasn't going to bow to that idol. I wasn't going to do it. You know? Cool, man. All right. It's in their hearts.
Little blonde hair, blue eyed boy standing there. He wasn't
just
angry,
standing there.
He just was like, I'm not doing it.
But then we go back to the U.S. God broke our hearts for lostness in the U.S., which surprised us.
Yeah, I was going to say it actually was through we were reading a Bible story to the kids about Nehemiah. It was the Bible story was saying that Nehemiah's heart was broken because the walls of his city were broken down, but not only that, the hearts as well. Mm-hmm. And I just looked at him. That was when it was a real tumultuous time in the United States, 2011, 12, 13. My gay marriage was passed. It was a lot of like shift in culture. Mm-hmm. And we just looked at each other like we're supposed to go back. You know, we're supposed to go back to the United States. So that was a big, even there, God using the kids to teach us, you know, as we're, you know, sharing a little story about Nehemiah, and then it like God turns it around on us to help us know what to do next.
Yeah.
So we begin to look at the United States and where in the United States is the most like far from God, like the lostness, where is the highest percentage of lostness?
It was like the four corners of the U.S. seem to be where, like, the coast is where a lot of that is. And we end up going back to Indiana for some support raising. And during that time, we started to like continue training. You know, it's just what you do. Focus on what's in front of you. And we had people that opportunities to train. So I'm at this training and Rachel, you know, it's like, I'm trying to give her a break. So I took our two oldest there. I think they were like 9 and 8 at the time. And I'm like, you guys go in the back and colors. I don't know what I say. Like, you know, super in touch with them. Go color, dude, do something in the back. Like, I'm going to do this important training. They participated in the training and I didn't know that was what was happening.
You know, they're writing out their oikos, you know, they're like thinking about who's far from God in their lives, you know, because we were a public school family for a long time. So they have people in their lives that are far from God and they're making it. And now pray over them. They're praying over their lists, you know, and then training how to share the gospel. They're practicing with their people next to them and they're little, you know?
Yeah. And so my kids are like, Dad, we want to go out in the harvest. I was like, no way. Like, you're going to like start a cult or something. Like, and they were like, Dad, we have to obey Jesus. You know, I was just like, you guys know Matt and Nathan. I trust them with them. And so they took them out and, yeah, they're all hyped because, like, you know, the 8-year-old shares the gospel with somebody. And so, like, that's just one example of, like, the Lord is using our kids. He's igniting their hearts. And, like, we're just trying to steward it. Like, as I've got this really important training ministry, like, realizing, oh, my gosh, like, God wants to use my kids. And I was in a meeting with a church in South Florida once, and I was trying to explain what we do. And like, the guy was just like, huh? And I was just like, okay, why don't you say it? Like out of exasperation, and Malachi did, and the guy's, oh, I totally get it now. And I was like, okay, like we have to simplify this around. So we began to like take what we were doing and like see how the kids used it. And as they began to share with lost people, they started to train with us, like including them in modules, and our kids started to help our younger kids. They trained our younger kids and include them. So as far as like harvest engagement, like, they're involved. Discipleship, they're involved. Like,
I had one really sweet couple here in South Florida that had come to Christ out of recovery. And it's so simple. I always cry just thinking about just the kids' heart for lostness or people who are far from God. You know, they just care. And at one point, these two young disciples taught me so much. They were like 24 and 28, but they had been abusing drugs for so long. So their minds are so simple. And I would go, you know, meet with them in their home. He was on house arrest. So we had to meet in his house. But then at some point, Christina fell away from the Lord for a while. And it was just Kyle, the guy. And so Malachi became my co-laborer. Mm-hmm. And he started coming with me to that discipleship because Kyle was not allowed to leave his house because he's on house arrest. Mm-hmm. And so Malachi became my co-laborer. He was 11. And just that, just how much of a connection the two of them had and how Malachi, even being so young, had such deep knowledge of Jesus and was able to teach Kyle so much. And that really taught me, like, okay, this is so much bigger than, you know. And then just another quick story just about how God uses kids. Maya shared with her seatmate that was next to her in history class, this young girl, Evelyn, who was struggling with some, like, just some identity things that's most common in today in the United States. And Maya began to explain through the Three Circles gospel tool, just that what God's design was and how beautiful it was between a man and a woman, or, you know, most importantly, a relationship with him is God's design, and explained about Jesus. And that young girl, sixth grade, you know, was like, I want to be in God's design.
Yeah.
And she gave her life to Jesus that day. And Maya knew what to do next because of all the training she's been involved in. And she's like, okay, well, when do you want to meet up with me for, let's go through the commands of Christ together. It's like this great Bible study tool. Let's go through it. She's like, okay, well, how about we go to Barnes and Noble? So then I'm thinking, okay, sixth grade, like this is my oldest child. I'm going to drive you. She'd never been like at, to the mall by herself or at a, you know, bookstore by herself. So then I'm like, I'll go with you, you know? So I'm there and I'm sitting at the table with them, you know, and I'm like, what am I doing here? Maya knows how to do this. I do not need to be here. And so I step away and I'm like, oh, you girls got this. And I start looking at books and I end up meeting her mom. So we started talking and just long story short, Lindsay ended up giving her life to Christ. That's the mom. And so through Maya's really sad dream led her to share Jesus, that led one sixth grader to Christ, who led mom to Christ, and then now husband. And then she, through all of this, was battling infertility, mom was, and God gave her a son and that little boy they're raising their family in a God-honoring Christian home. And Lindsay shares the gospel. She makes disciples. And yeah. Her heart's longing is to start a church in her home. And that's the next step for her. But just all because of a little 12-year-old,
yeah.
You know, so that really, the reason why I wanted to share that story was because I was sitting at Barnes & Noble thinking, I'm going to assist. Yeah, I did not need to be there.
Wow.
And just how God, these little disciple makers, you know, I love that phrase. You've heard it before, like your kid is a child, but the Holy Spirit inside them is no child. So God is at work in their hearts in mighty, mighty ways, speaking to them, you know. And we would tell our kids all the time, like, we want you to learn to obey our voice so that you can one day when you grow older, you're going to be able to hear God's voice and obey him. And that's the best way to live. You know, he brings us the most joy in life, the most satisfaction.
What was amazing was we're sitting at our oldest daughter's wedding rehearsal dinner. And this girl, Evelyn, is a bridesmaid and she's there with her mom. And so, you know, everybody's kind of like going around giving encouragement. And she stood up and she says, Maya, because of your obedience to Jesus, my whole family is going to heaven now. I mean, everybody's lighthearted and I was just like, oh my gosh, like this is so powerful because that's who Maya is. Like God has captured her heart. You know, she's got his heart for the lost and then knows how to share the gospel, knows how to disciple, knows how to release that authority and responsibility to them. And to see the 7 years later, here's this girl walking with the Lord and her whole family has come to faith. So just fruit that lasts, like praise God.
I just want people to hear the heart for the lost that's coming through from you guys. I think sometimes we talk a lot about strategy and things like that, and rightfully so. You know, we talk about biblical, you know, looking for biblical principles and things like that, but it really just does come down to that, doesn't it? I mean, if we're going back to our original calling, it just comes back to that heart for lost people and how that compels us to do the things that we spend a lot of time talking about and training people in and but it's just driven by that. So just want to affirm that. And also just recognize, like, I think we should have interviewed your kids, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're available. You said they're out at Chick-fil-A, but anyway. But man, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I just had a coworker today ask me, we're talking through that, how do you balance ministry and children and just to hear from you, like we didn't even actually ask you, tell us how you incorporate your children into the ministry. It's just like flowing out of you and you have a clear love and passion that your children aren't a burden or a distraction. Just to see that they don't have to be at odds with each other.
Children are a blessing from the Lord. And I think in ministry, oftentimes we see them as a hindrance. And I mean, even like in missions history, like there was a season where it was like, yeah, ship your kids off. Like you need to be able to focus on the work. And the church that we served in, one of the hard things for Rachel was one of the leaders told me like, hey, why don't you stop having kids so you can focus more on the work, you know? And it was just like, what? Like, that's not God's heart, you know? And we see that in the culture, like the lost culture, like
like we feel it as a larger family. It's kind of like, why do you guys have so many kids? You know, like there's like this assault on Genesis 1 family and God's command to be fruitful and multiply. And so I think even within, like, we began to cultivate some convictions about it as a family of what God was calling us to based on our experience, where it was like, they are not like a burden. Yeah, there's times where it's a pain. Like, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
And like, stinkers. Even after we just finished up our time in 5 years in California, like, we saw God move in some amazing ways, like things we haven't seen before. But the feedback, as we were kind of like getting encouragement from people in our departure, hands down, what people were saying was, it was your family, like coming over to your house and like watch you guys eat a meal, or, you know, like just like the mundane, like things like, you know, getting to see like how you discipline, you know, like the way you guys, like as a couple, like love each other, you know, like the things that were background, you know, like we're actually like in the front for them to see like that model of what a family with the gospel looks like. And that really blew our minds. Children are a blessing from the Lord.
Yeah.
They're not a hindrance. And
I mean, if we're going to talk biblical terms, Jesus literally said, let them come, you know, let them come to me. And you know, just the importance of children. And I want to just like speak on that as well. I used to be really insecure about like the craziness of my kids and family and hyper and, you know, all the messiness of either the house or, and I had a mentor just tell me like, let them see your life. Like, this is real. And even the ones that came into our home, it's going to make me cry, but just the reality is young people these days don't see a healthy family, you know, with mom and dad loving each other and a Christian home and kids being silly and crazy and eating and no one can really talk because the kids are talking over each other. And we had one friend and I'm like, hey, I'm so sorry. This is so hectic. And I'm like, this is something we're working on. Like, that's how we say, I'm sorry about that. This is something we're working on. And that girl, she said, no, this is what I wanted to see. Like, I hope my family's like this. And I thought, okay, Lord, if you can use the messiness and hyperness of my kids to like help young people see that family isn't like you see on TV or like the perfect Instagram post that people post about their, you know, on their little vacations. Like, it's not like that. It's messy and it's crazy. And, but it's funny because they say the funniest things. And, so I think our little boy specifically, the two little ones that were added to our family after that one leader told us, like, maybe you shouldn't have any more kids if you've got too many or something. And those two little boys have been really an amazing addition to our family because we've got these older kids. The youngest of the older five is 13. And then we've got an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old. So it's like a 4-year gap. These little boys, I guess, just bring the hype for lots of young people, like all these like college age kids that we were, you know, involved in California. Like if they come over and it's only one or two people in the house, they're like, where is everybody? Like, where are the little boys? And I'm like, oh, they're at the park. And they're like, oh, which park? You know, they like want to go see the little boys. Just the importance of family. And I want to encourage the moms out there who feel like their family is crazy. Like, it's okay. Like, you would rather have really like raise crazy kids who become really fun adults, instead of like really like well-behaved, quiet little kids who become very boring adults. Like, let's let's make big person. If God gave them big personality, let them be big personality. You know,
every mom can relate to wanting their kids to like be quiet at the meals and make sure all the adults are happy. And kids are kids, you know. So, okay, I am thinking about, possibly there's a listener out there who's thinking, I can't even imagine my kids being so excited to go out to share the gospel or having such a passion and love for Jesus at the age of 11 that he's teaching an adult, you know? So tell us just some of maybe the ways that you fostered that in your kids and your home.
You know how in Deuteronomy 6, it talks of the Shema, you know? So it's like, you know, when you're walking, when you're sitting, like all the time, diligently teach these things to your kids. So I think that it's just a continual conversation. And then God produced this crazy fruit, you know, in Isaiah, right? It says like all your children will be taught by the Lord and great shall be the peace of your children. And that's a promise, you know? And so that's a command to teach your kids diligently, and then a promise that God will teach them too, because, you know, he's inside of them. So it's with everything. I'll give you something practical. I remember when the kids were really little, we had built this house, but it was like, you know, really tiny lawn, and the yard back, you know, just backed up to my next door neighbor. And she had one son, and they didn't know the Lord at the time. I had like four kids, you know, and he had a playground and we did not. And my kids wanted to play on that playground so bad. And there would be conflict because the little boy would be like, this isn't your playground. You can't play here. And I was really torn because I'm just like, yeah, you know, getting frustrated as a young mom, like, why can't the mom just come out here and be like, hey guys, come play on our playground, you know? And then I just the heart struggle, you know? But then what happened was something so beautiful. It became, you know, why didn't Logan share with us? Like, I wish I could go play on his playground. And it was like, well, Logan doesn't know about Jesus yet. You know how like in the Bible, it talks about how we should share with each other. Maybe he doesn't know about that because, you know, he doesn't know about God and how good God is and how God gave us the gift of Jesus. And so that's why we want to share with others. Like, it became like a conversation, obviously way more simple than that, but just like, let's look for ways to love him and share with him and show him. Like, understanding basically people who are far from God may not know how to raise their kids. And then the kids don't know how to share. They don't know how to, you know, we can't expect someone who is far from God to know God's ways. Those kind of conversations day after day happening. And the cool thing about that quick, you know, that story is that the whole family came to Christ. And I believe it's because of the messiness of my parenting, where I had to be like, I'm so sorry that, you know, Malachi slapped Logan. Please forgive us. Like, this is something we're working on. That's my best phrase. Like, I'm so sorry. This is something we're working on. His anger got the best of him. He knows better because God loves, you know, and then really gospel conversations with them through the messiness of our kids and the sinfulness of our hearts. And so anyway, all that to say, it's those little conversations. I asked the kids yesterday, I'm like, guys, we're doing this thing. Like, can you tell me what do we do well and what are we not doing so great or whatever? And a couple of our kids, they said, Mom, like, it was the everyday relationship. Yeah. And one of the girls was like, remember when you told us that if we asked you a question, you tell us the truth about anything we wanted to know? So like speaking truth to your children to where they trust you the day in, day out, praying over the friends at school that were mean to you, or that neighbor kid that doesn't share and you feel sad about it, you know, and how can you love them? You can't control them, but you can control your own heart. So you need to forgive and then share Jesus with them, or, you know, just like they don't know, like, just like we didn't know, you know, we were, you know, how scripture says we were once that. So never forget that we were once that too. And it's only by God. So, but also one of our girls said, our 14-year-old, she said, Mom, like, yeah, you talked to us about stuff, but it wasn't you. She's like, it was God. God's the one who drew our hearts to him. But it was because you shared with us about how good God was and how loving and that he satisfies everything. So then we trusted you. So then we wanted to be a part of it. I think it's the day in, day out. And then the kids, you know, you're at the park playing and there's a mom and a kid. And then I will definitely use that opportunity to share with them. So then in the car on the way home, they're like, Mom, did you tell that mom about Jesus? And I'm like, yeah, like, guys, she has such a hard life. You know that? Like, this is what happened to her. And she's just trying to raise her kid. And can you imagine if like she believed in God, how different her life would be? And they're like, yeah. Yeah. And then we pray for that mom. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not just saying, yes, I shared with them. It's here's what that mom's struggling with. Like, yeah. Can you believe how hard that is for her? Mm-hmm. You know? So then it's compassion. It's, you know, stretching their heart for people who don't know him.
Yeah. It's modeled in the home, and Rachel does an amazing job. She loves people.
We can see that
on this call. Yeah. She loves people. And so whether it's at the grocery store or like she takes the time to talk to people, and we'll share the gospel with them. And our kids are watching this, like they're, you know, and she you do discipline them, so it's not like they're yanking on your leg, you know, like they learn how to be obedient. I think some practical things, time with Jesus, like they see us, at least one of us in the morning, having time with the Lord when they wake up. And so they've picked that up. I mentioned hospitality, like they're a part of it. You know, it's not just like mom and dad, but all of them are a part of it, whether it's church, whether it's like having somebody over, giving them the freedom to go escape. We got some introverts in our house, like that they can escape. So it's not like you must be here, you know, like there's some flexibility and some freedom. And yeah, that was a feedback we got. Like,
yeah, it wasn't ever forced. Yeah, is what they said. Malachi actually said, he's like, he always wanted to do it, mom. Like, I don't know. We want to train. He's like, I love going on trips with dad. Dad always made it so fun to train with him and be a part of the ministry. It was always so fun. So I wanted to do it. But if I didn't, you never forced me.
Yeah. Family, we do family worship. Did we ever talk about that? I don't know. It was in a season where the kids were all like, you know, because once they're different ages, like you got teenagers and little kids, like what you can all do together, like just burn the brochure on that one. Like, just, you know, let the teens be teens, let the young ones be young ones.
It becomes different seasons.
Kind of to learn that. But when they were all around the same age and you could just like have them all together consistently and they liked that, I was like 15 minutes before bed, we would just do like a high and a low from the day. And we would have like one to three worship songs on YouTube. And of course they did the same three songs every single day.
Every time.
But it was like it was just an opportunity to reflect on the day. We prayed together and then we sang a couple songs and it went on for a long time, like longer than I thought maybe it'd be like a few weeks, but it was like they loved it. And when we would have people over for dinner, like they would just like, hey, we're doing this. You guys can join us if you want. And people are like, oh, this is kind of cool. And we incorporated ice cream. There's the secret sauce, you know.
Yes.
There you go.
Terrible to give kids sugar before bed, but
it's okay.
Midwest, right? Midwest, ice cream or popcorn, one of the two.
There you go. That's it.
And then like just as far as in the work, they would take on roles during church. They would go in the harvest with us. They would come with us, as Rachel said, on training. We would allow them to lead and serve, and then we would celebrate it. But we also weren't like, I don't know, I've seen some parents kind of force it on their kids. Like, you will do this. I don't think that's helpful. Like, I think let it come from something they want to do. And something we learned from Jeff and Angie for our older kids was a gap semester or year serving on an apostolic band somewhere, on a missionary band. Like, and so two of our kids have done that. And it has had a massive impact on both of them. Mm-hmm. And it's now become kind of a culture where it's like the younger ones, like, oh, where am I going to go? I wonder where I'll be, you know? So those are a few practical things.
Yeah.
So helpful, you guys. I mean, this is just rich hearing from y'all and picking up a lot of Troy and Rachel-isms along the way as well. I like the "we're working on it" and "burn the brochure" have come through loud and clear. That's good stuff, guys. And I think, you know, great to hear practical things. But again, just to emphasize, those are the overflow of your heart. I think that's what's evident, is that those are things that are fruit of the heart motive that y'all are carrying, that desire to see the lost saved. So praise God for that.
Yeah. And we have had, like, just so that you don't think it's all been perfect, we did have one of our kids who went through like a season of rebellion. And that was really hard. I felt like we were just contesting for his soul. And I think the enemy was just really after him. You know, he's obviously like responsible for his own decisions, but like, it's not all puppies and rainbows. Like we had some hard, you know, just I think tied into moving to a new place. And, you know, I think even as a parent, I think wanting my son to have friends and I maybe like releasing too much too quickly as far as like, you know, freedoms, I learned from that. Just, but also seeing God break through to his heart, and now he has a testimony, and you know, it was an awesome example to the other kids who were like, I'm not doing that. And wrestling through that, in my heart, like, man, like, I've seen God use you, how could this be? And and even kind of learning from him that was a pressure on him, you know, that he had to lay before the Lord, and like just campaigning, like, no, man, God delights in you because of Christ. You know, he did that work. He took on the shame. He took on his sin. He imparted to you his righteousness. Like, And so getting a chance for like where he's on like complete lockdown grounding for 4 months, you know, with a teenager, no car, no phone, nothing. You just got me for 4 months. Like that was a really, really like rich time together, and God used it. So
it's like reeling it back in, you know, pulling it back in. Sometimes they get out there, you give them a lot of freedom, and then they realize that they're not quite ready for it, but they don't know how to get back, you know? And so helping them come back to that. And I just wanted to encourage parents out there that might have a child who is a prodigal, like, you know, even if it's hopefully just a short season, and by the grace of God, ours was fairly short. And God brought him back with full surrender to Jesus. And so even if you see your children being super, you know, just like obedient and like love Jesus, I think there's the believing in Jesus and the gospel and what he's done, and even like maybe knowing how to learn from God's word. But then there's this thing that happens as they're emerging adults, because they're people, right? They're people. So as they're emerging to adulthood, this surrender has to take place where they realize, okay, I need God in everything in my life, not just in the ministry or when I'm around Christians. It like has to be everything. And then even with this son, just realizing what the root was, like we kept begging for God to show us what is the root cause, like so that we could go after that. And it really was a people pleaser, or like the fear of man. Like just doesn't, he was like, I just don't want to be that like nerdy Christian, or like that judgmental Christian. I don't want to be like this judgy friend who's like, oh, well, you're a Christian, so you would never do what we're doing. And he's like, I don't want to be that judgmental person. I want them to see me as a friend. But then that, you know, you can only do that for so long, and then it bleeds over into joining those friends who are far from God. And so like God showing us how to go after that, and then just not being like upset or like, why are you dying? You know, just like there were times where we wanted to be like that, but just like, okay, well, we're going to talk about that, you know, and walking him through that and reminding him how much we love him and how much God loves him. And you're going to get through this, and just the surrender. So what I'm trying to say is that childlike faith, and then we've all experienced it as adults, right? Where there's this moment where we surrender, like we give our lives to God, like on the altar. And we're like, actually, I only want your ways. Like I'm realizing my ways are foolish, and I need your ways, and I need you to help me with everything I do in my life. And yeah, repentance. Yes. Yeah. Please let's not forget repentance, like a full repentance and grieving over the turmoil that they caused God and family, and begging God for them, their heart to be full of repentance.
I kind of led with this, but that journey you described, and even the terms in which you described it, talking about surrender at like a kind of a coming of age point, that I feel like is exactly what has happened with a young Indian guy that I've been walking with over the past couple of years. He's actually the son of the pastor of the church that we go to here. And he's right in that 20, 21. And just even over the past couple of months, like we've been meeting for discipleship. He knows all the right answers, has had experiences with God in the past, but almost that very thing that you described, he himself, we were talking yesterday, he said, man, I'm just surrendering everything to the Lord, just submitting it to him. And it was, yeah, almost exactly to what you said, that same journey that he went on. He was wayward for a while with the friends, concerned about how people perceived him, you know, couldn't like conceive of a cool Christian, kind of that very same thing, but to see him come back. And so I think just speaks to that very issue that, man, more and more, the experiences that our kids, that generation that they're going through, are more and more common around the world, even. Even the places where you're moving to, I think you're going to find teenagers who are in that same space and thinking in the same ways even about it.